This is great to be able to be on a beautiful day like this with all of you here. It's wonderful to have this occasion, and we really do appreciate it. I'd like to welcome all of you to the 7th annual Missoula Pentecost Weekend. And for us, and I think for most of you, this is truly one of the highlights of the year. It's almost better than the Feast of Tabernacles in a way, because the group is just large enough that we can visit with everybody a little bit at least, and by staying in the same hotel, at least most of us, it gives us the opportunity to have meals and fellowship together, so we really do appreciate it. We look forward to it all year long, actually. Well, we've been gathering here in Missoula long enough now to have fond memories of these weekends together, and also long enough to have certain traditions or expectations of what this weekend will bring and what it will be like. We expect, for instance, a spiritual feast of inspiring messages, special music. That's a rare treat for most of us to have special music, and now we can have three services in a row special music. I really look forward to that. And of course, then we've got a lot of encouraging and comforting fellowship that we look forward to, because it's part of our Christian life that is so important. And here we can indulge with one another in two full days of fellowship. And of course, we share several meals together as well. That's one of our traditions that's been noted by others who've been here. In 1996, our first year to have this Pentecost weekend, Mr. Glenn White and his wife were with us. He was the de facto pastor at the time because of the way things happened. We wound up with a pastor from another state, which we were very glad to have. It's better than no pastor at all. And so Mr. and Mrs. White were here to help get us started and to encourage us along that way. We met that year in Ruby's Inn, a few miles from here down Reserve Street, or north on Reserve. And I remember many of you going out to the creek in the background and playing there. I'm just reminiscing a little bit about some of the good things that happen on these weekends as we go through these years. But that year was special because, in a way, it was like all of us had regained our first love, and everybody came together in a sense of unity and a sense of happiness to be there and a sense of joy, and it was just a very special Pentecost weekend. The next year, Denny and Leanne Luker came over, and we really appreciated their visit with us. Mr. Luker started what I hope will continue to be another tradition for this weekend, and of course it should be something that goes on all year, but especially this weekend. When Mr. Luker was here, he mentioned that this being the Feast of Pentecost, with the giving of God's Holy Spirit, that we should pray especially for one another during this feast, during this weekend together, this year too, that God would pour out His Spirit on all of us, and that He would be here with us in spirit. So let's please make that a tradition and do that together while we're here and keep it in mind, because that's one of the best things about the weekend, that we can help one another on a godly level like that. In 1998, Bob and Diane Dick were here, and that was a year of a little bit more turmoil in the church, and it was shortly after the council meetings and the conference that had occurred earlier in the year in the month of May. And so when Mr. and Mrs. Dick came, he had been somewhat pummeled by the things going on. And so he came here to be with us, not knowing really what to expect, but when he got here, he was greeted by you, and they were able to be rejuvenated. And they commented to us about how special that weekend was for them to come among you and have a sense of peace and a sense of refuge. It was a very good and rejuvenating time for them. And because of what you gave to them, the whole church was able to benefit because of the leadership that he was able to have. And your involvement in that was very, very important. And so a few days after the feast, Mr. and Mrs. Dick took a few days off and stayed with Nancy and I, and he went incognito. That is, he didn't tell anyone at the home office where he was. And about 3 days later, Mr. Pennelly called me and said, do you know where Mr. Dick is? you know, they were looking for him, and there were things going on, and they wanted to know. And I said, yeah, I know where he is. So, should I have him call you? He'll be home in a few days. Leave him alone. So it was good. And then the next year, 1999, Mr. and Mrs. Pennelly came out to see for themselves what was this thing happening in Montana every spring in the Feast of Pentecost. And they came to see what it was like in this area, Montana, North Idaho, and Eastern Washington, because by then the reputation was spreading that something special was happening in this part of the world. And Mr. Pennelly was very gracious to be able to come out. And then he stayed a few days afterwards, too, and learned from Mr. Dick to go incognito. So it was good to be able to help them rejuvenate. And it was because of that visit that Mr. Pennelly became more aware of the needs in the area and more aware of how big and vast the geography is here and how scattered we are, and that we really do need some help and assistance. And so with the discussions that began there and eventually leading to the next spring holiday season, it was decided and determined that we could have the visiting pastor program, which many of you have participated in by having the pastors come to visit your own areas. And so we really did appreciate that. But by coming here, he was able to see those needs and then begin to help fill them and agree to them when they were suggested later. In 2000, John and Sandy Seforek came. And that was a very special time, too, because I was really impressed with how well they connected with each of you, and with many of you at least, and to really visit as brother and sister with all of us. And we really appreciated that. And that's one of the reasons we've invited them back several times to be the visiting pastor for the area here. And that was a special year, too, because that was the year I first remember Steve and Gloria attending at Pentecost. First time we ever met them, and it wasn't too long after that that Gloria was baptized, and then Steve a little while later. And here they are now with their two of their grandchildren. And we're very pleased, but it was at this Feast of Pentecost when that connection first started for us, and it's a very special thing for me. Which brings me then to 2001, last year when Les and Marion McCullough came out to visit during this weekend. And that was also a very special time. They were impressed with your warmth and friendliness and the love that is so obvious among you when you're together like this. It's really an amazing thing. And if you've traveled to some of our larger feast areas and larger congregations, you know that what we have here is really quite special. Not that there's a lack of love in other areas, but when we gather like this, for some reason, it's more like a family, and it's very, very special, and other people notice it perhaps even more than we do, but we do appreciate it. And sometimes the greater benefit is to the ones coming in to serve, to be rejuvenated by those who are here to help them to refocus and be encouraged. And so that brings me to the point of this, which is, after all, a sermonette. The theme for this year's conference, which was held a couple of weeks ago in Cincinnati, the theme for the church to focus on for the year ahead is equipping the saints and edifying the body. And this is based on the scriptures we find in Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn there. A set of scriptures that is very, very enlightening and very encouraging. We'll begin in Ephesians 4 and verse 12, and I want to apply this directly to this Pentecost weekend, because this will be a good kickoff for all of us to apply this theme throughout the remainder of the year. Several of the presentations at the conference were based on this principle, and focused very directly upon it in great detail and with very good insight. I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity to obtain the audio tapes of those presentations, that you would listen to several of them. And there are, for your use, some reports on the back table, the reporting on the presentations at the conference. But it says here in Ephesians 4, we'll begin in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the equipping of the saints, that is you, for all the members, for the work of ministry. It doesn't separate it as for the equipping the ministry for the work of ministry. It's the whole body is equipped for the work of ministry. There's something involved for all of us, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it goes on with some wonderful description of what the results of this would be, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is an amazing description of what our ultimate reality will be when we somehow, with God's help, can measure to that level. And that's part of what we're seeking to do in our Christian life. Verse 14 continues, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And the verse I want to concentrate on for the theme of this weekend is the next one, verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When we gather like this, there is something that we all gain from one another. We gain what every part supplies. And it takes a lot to put an event like this on. It's something that many people have to be working with together to pull off. It takes a lot of time to practice for the music that will be presented, because the music is a worship service. And it takes a lot of effort for that and a lot of good attitude and prayer. It takes also time to set up the physical room and to decorate it and to prepare and to prepare individually to travel here, to be here. It takes a lot of thought. And so it takes all of us to supply this or that, the sound system, whatever it is, so that we can all enjoy this time together and benefit and be edified by this time together. And so every part, every member does its share. You have something to give to the rest of us, and we have something to give to you. And we may not know what it is between us, and yet it's there, something that will edify other people. Someone here has something that you need, a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, just plain old friendship. Or perhaps there's a good example that you will see which will affect you in the way you live. Without you even knowing it, there's a prayer going up for you by someone else here, someone supplying their part and doing their share. Someone here has wisdom that I need so that I can work through some things. And perhaps God has given me experience that will be of benefit to others. And so we share and we all do our part. And this is part of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And this is part of edifying the body of Christ so that there is growth in the body, the spiritual growth and quality of spirituality in our own lives. And it's an amazing thing. And this is what this weekend is about and for, that we will come together and have a godly relationship with one another and edify one another through the Spirit of God working in us.